Well, good morning once again, church. We serve a risen Savior, and all the house said, amen. We don't serve a dead God, a living God. So in support of today's message, you'll find embedded inside of your worship guide, I'm going to be sharing a story perhaps you heard many years ago. It's a story entitled, Escaping Death, Enjoying Life. Escaping Death and Enjoying Life. When an impossibility became an actual possibility. Listen while I read. Sentenced to death years ago was an outcast of life, a vagabond, a mongrel, a menace to society that led a life of crime most of his life in the streets and back alleys of Connecticut. Eventually captured, his life of corruption bought him a cramped, cold, confined cell with other similar outcasts. Oh, you see, laws back then were much stiffer than today. Capital punishment ran rampant during this time. And this criminal was eventually sentenced to death row himself. And rather than serving proper meals, it's recorded that the jailers would often taunt this particular villain by throwing scraps of food through the bars while assuring him they looked forward to the day he would be executed, exclamation point. However, as a matter of the greatest good fortune, it was bestowed on this criminal the night before his scheduled death that a famous New York Broadway director visited the jail and found this criminal, of all people, to be a perfect fit for a role in an upcoming musical. So to the surprise of everyone, this powerful director pulled some strings while begging for the life of the accused. A generous bail was paid to the executioners, and the judicial system was tested and lost. This death row inmate was exonerated that same night and let out a side door while much of the world slept unawares. This new star was eternally grateful and showed great promise and became a quick study and a quick learn, and learn he did. He was a natural on stage, an actor that memorized his parts to perfection in the new production. So from rags to riches, from death to life, from impossible to possible, this new star became an overnight success, even helping to win the production a variety of awards all across Connecticut, New York, and all the way to Hollywood. His new fame even took him to the White House to meet the then President of the United States, Ronald Reagan, during a black tie event. Once condemned to death, this vagrant, simply known as Sandy, quickly became a household name. His only crime thereafter was when he stole the hearts of all ages. From the adults to the children, they fell in love with Sandy. The musical production that Sandy performed, they performed in, was written after the comic strip Little Orphan Annie. You see, Sandy was a sidekick to Little Orphan Annie. Those of us who are familiar with this blockbuster musical will recognize Sandy as the dog who was once held in a cell at the Connecticut Humane Society. The bail paid was a meager $8, and a star was born. Today's sermon is not going to be taken from death row, from a cold cell, but rather a valley of death itself. Through the quill of the prophet Ezekiel, we will see how God turns impossibilities into possibilities. I invite you to pray with me once again. Father God, you are the God of miracles. We have already acknowledged that here this morning over and over again. God, we need a miracle to fall fresh, a fresh wind to blow through this place. We need the Holy Spirit of God to be released. We want to experience the fullness of Christ Jesus through the power of God under the name, the authority of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Spirit. So we give this time to you while we delve into your beautiful word about this event that took place more than 1,000 years ago now. The God of miracles who raised those dead bones can now resurrect and restore this church, this country, our individual lives. So we devote this time and attention to you. In the name of Christ, and all your children said, amen and amen. Go ahead and turn with me, please, to the Old Testament prophet, major prophet known as Ezekiel. God strengthens me is what his name means. Ezekiel chapter 37. If you're new here to First Fair Lee, we want you to know we are a Bible-believing church. We always open our services with the reading and teaching and exegesis of the Word of God. If you don't have a Bible with you, I invite you to pull out your phone and pull up Ezekiel chapter number 37. Of the 48 chapters in the book of Ezekiel, this perhaps is one of the most well-known and perhaps your favorite also. It's when the dry bones lived again. Ezekiel chapter 37, friends, is where we're going today. The major prophet of Ezekiel, as instructed by God, the Holy Spirit, wrote these words. Read along with me. The hand of the Lord came upon me, in verse number 1 of Ezekiel 37. If you got it, say amen. Amen. Thank you for following along. The hand of the Lord came upon me, Ezekiel, and brought me up out in the Spirit of the Lord. Now, that's important. He was Spirit-led. And set me down in the middle, in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones. Think about this now. We're going to try to sort of impart some truths here behind this scripture reading today. You understand that battles took place in valleys in days of old and even today. Strategically speaking, back in this day, a valley was a seedbed when armies against God and armies on God's favor would house themselves on the mountain. One side of the mountain was on this side. One team was on this side, if you will, the team God, and the other team was on this side, just like a major stadium with a football game. And then down below, you have the valley there. And so the two armies would come out and they would do battle. That's what's taking place here. This stadium of God, a great battle took place years ago. And Ezekiel was able to see the dead bones, those who remained behind. Notice what it says in the latter part of verse number 1. It was full, this valley was full of these dead bones. Then he, the Holy Spirit of God, calls me to pass by them. Walk around them. Can you imagine Ezekiel walking around this valley of dead bones? And behold, there were very many there in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. You understand why in just a moment. Sun bleached and more. So God said to him, Son of Man, verse number 3, one of the great titles here for Ezekiel. Son of Man, can these bones live? So I answered in verse number 3, yes. Is that what he says? No. How about no? Is that what he says? No. He was smart enough to answer, Oh Lord, only you know. Friends, you and I have all the faith in the world. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's why we're enjoying this today. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But to put yourself right there, not in the kitchen, but put yourself right there in the valley of these dead bones, and now ask yourself, how would you respond? How would I respond if God were to ask us, Son of Man, daughter, Christian, do you think I can resurrect these bones? If you're smart enough, here's what you would say, Lord, you know, I don't know. But think about what you're going through right now in your life. Think about the miracle you need in your life. We'll have a clear interpretation here in just a moment. But before we close, we want to make sure we have application. We always want to have proper interpretation. What's the Bible saying here? This is a picture of the nation of Israel. And God is speaking to them after the Babylonian exile. And God's using his major prophet, Ezekiel. He's saying, this is a picture of my Jews that I'm going to be using in the future, during the millennial kingdom into the future. I will once again restore the nation of Israel. But think about this. The literal interpretation also applies to us today. Jew or Gentile, God says, you have a problem. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. We just had a fine deacon prayer over that today. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, you are dead in your trespasses and sin. The Bible says that. But you don't want to leave here as a dead corpse. You can leave here as a living organism of Jesus Christ. Can I get amen? You can put your faith in Jesus Christ. You can live forever throughout eternity with, there in paradise with God. Well, that's what he's describing here to Ezekiel. This picture, use your imagination. Put yourself right there in this valley. This picture in verse number 3, do you think I can resurrect these bones? He said, Lord, you know. Thank God he was smart enough to say that. Thank God that you and I are smart enough to rely on God as well. Look in verse number 4. And again, he said to me, well, I want you to preach. It says prophesy, but really what he's saying, I want you to preach to these dead bones and say to them, old dry bones, do you hear the word of the Lord? Now, folks, I have preached in some dead churches before. I don't mind telling you. I remember one time I was asked to preach in a church that the pastor said, we need revival, and I'm going to get a shotgun assembly together. I'm going to bring in a different speaker every night, just like boom, 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 call it a Gatling gun. So each of us had our appointed time, and each night somebody came out with something new. Boom, 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 boom. When I got up there, I don't know why, I just happened to notice in the back of the pulpit you'll find a variety of things. Right here, I have hand wash to keep my hands clean. I have tissues and a variety of other hymnals down here, this and that. And this pulpit I'm in right here, First Fair Lee. But when I went and entered the pulpit on that night, I was supposed to be bringing down fire from above. I would be calling the fire down from God. And I looked, and there's a set of jumper cables inside the pulpit. I found out later from the pastor, the church van had a dead battery. And they needed it that day. And Brother Gary, you help us with our vans here. You can appreciate this. So somebody jumped it, and they just laid the jumper cables in the pulpit there. And I thought, dear God, this church needs fire from above. But it might take these jumper cables and a 24-volt battery to get these people started for the Lord. Amen? But you think about this. Here he's going to be preaching to a dead valley full of bones, much worse than what you and I can imagine today. So he said in verse number 5, surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. Think about this. God said to the bones, God's going to do this, not Ezekiel. God said, I will do this. I will cause you to live. Look in verse number 6. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, you see, covering you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Give God glory this morning. Yes. Folks, if you and I can explain it, God probably had nothing to do with it. If you and I can explain the miracles you and I get to enjoy in this life, God probably had nothing to do with it. But think about a time in your life when the doctor said you couldn't, dear woman. You couldn't produce a child, and yet you did. You defied not only physicians, you defied logic. The plumbing wasn't there. And yet God answered. How about those of you who've been cured from cancer? When everyone says, oh, it's not possible. You can't be cured from ovarian cancer, prostate cancer, whatever it may be, melanoma, whatever it is. And yet later you're cured. Give God the glory. And the doctors and others are doing a wonderful job. And yet all the medicines in the world, all the physicians in the world will sooner or later have to agree with what many of the physicians in this church agree to. Some things are out of our control. Some things are out of our reach. There's some things that we, in our modern medications even today, in our surgeries, we just can't perform. It's going to take a miracle from God. Think about your marriage. You may be waiting on a miracle there. Think about your financial situation. Think about that son or daughter, that neighbor, that loved one you've been praying for that's strung out on drugs. Friends, all the counsel in the world may fail. But if God is in it, if God is in it, they can live again. Can I get an amen? The miracle of God can be seen here. I know why we as Baptists, why we rob God of His glory, Ephesians 4:30. I know why we do this. You think you have to be in a Pentecostal holiness church in order for the Spirit of God to fall fresh. Friends, I'm going to give you a book reference here. Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, Jim Cimbala. Go back and look at the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. This is an easy read. I try to read this once a year, and I'm just reminding myself this morning, this year is slipping away, and I haven't done it yet. Fresh Wind, referring to the fresh breath of God. We're going to see that here in just a moment. how the hand of God was on them, but also the breath of God blew through that place. The wind, the pneumos of God, with just a handful of people, less than 36 people, Jim and Carol Cimbala went to Brooklyn, New York, of all places, in a very destitute situation. Crime ran rampant. The building there, their tabernacle, was falling in. They couldn't get permits to even repair it. They didn't have the money for it. And yet God blew fresh wind. A miracle was experienced. And God blew through that place. And this morning they're worshiping God there with an estimated 10,000 people plus, with very limited parking. Think about that. Go back and Google later, Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. See that glorious worship house. Not the building. They had to do repairs. But Jim would be the first to say, I had nothing to do with this. My wife doesn't even have a music degree. How many of you ever heard the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir sing? You know what I'm talking about. World renowned. And Carol Cimbala leads it. She can't read music. Hundreds just in the children's choirs alone, not counting the thousands there in that tabernacle choir with the adults. Friends, what I'm just trying to submit to me and you today is the God who performed a miracle back in this day still performs a miracle today. That would be a great place for someone to say, amen. Thank you so much. Let's continue on. So what did he do in verse number 7? He said, God, you did this. So I will preach. I will prophesy as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and a suddenly rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Oh, I woke up this morning, Brother Bill Hoover. I was thinking about me and you, brother. We like old gospel music. And I was thinking about that old song, how the foot bone said to the ankle bone, how the ankle bone said to the leg bone, how the leg bone said to the knee bone, and thus saith the Lord, how it all came together. That old gospel song written eons of years ago was taken right from the heart of Ezekiel 37. Bone to bone, it's all coming together. Can you imagine what Ezekiel saw then? Well, let's read it in verse number 8. Indeed, I looked, and the sinews and the flesh even came upon them. The bone stood up and also took on the flesh, and skin covered over them, and there was no breath of them. What? But there was no breath in them. That may be you here today. You may be here physically, but if you don't have the breath of God within you, the pneumos of God, the Spirit of God, you are still dead. You're a walking corpse. Dead man walking. Dead man walking. It breaks my heart when I hear about this. The studies show more and more and more, friends, that our churches in attendance is failing, is falling. Attendance is falling across denominational lines, even non-denominational lines. And even the churches that are having people come, rarely do you hear someone getting saved, born again, washed in the blood, baptized in the Spirit of God. Yes, and then following the Lord here, like we'll be enjoying very soon. We got about a dozen teenagers and children will be baptized right here in these living waters, as representative of their faith they put in Jesus Christ. But think about this. Our churches are dying, and yet people are still coming. Is it the church's fault? Is this God's fault? God said, I'm going to do my part. You and I must do our part. Amen? We must continue to pray and to preach and to beg people unto salvation. Please, you must listen before it's eternally too late. That's what's taking place here. Bone to bone, flesh to flesh. But look in verse number 8. What does the latter part say? But there is no breath within them. God, help us to get breath within us today. So he said to me, continue preaching, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds. Think about this, all around the earth. And breathe, breathe on these slain, that they may live. So what did he do? He said, I did as I was commanded. I prophesied and I commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet. An exceeding great army was established that day. Verse number 11, then God said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. What a demise. What a horrible picture. They were without hope. They had given up hope. It sounds like America today. Some people ready to circle the wagons. Sound like some churches today. Some people ready to just give up and quit. Isn't this amazing? An estimated 1,500 ministers are quitting the gospel ministry every month. That's the latest stat. And it's growing. Fewer and fewer young people are surrendering to the gospel ministry, to missions as we know it. That's sad. 42% of the men who quit ministry among Southern Baptists last month did so, with a recent report from Lifeway.com, did so because they were tired of the infighting in the church. Shame. Shame. When churches can't get along. I'm talking about church, not the building, the people. Dear God, help us. What are we doing? What are we doing? You look at the overhead. You have Annie and Sandy up there, and our hearts get warm. Well, how about this one right here? How about the picture of God with Ezekiel calling these dead bones to live? Don't you get excited when people get saved? Don't you get excited when people come to know the Lord in a very personal way? Don't you get excited when marriage fires are rekindled? Don't you get excited when an addiction is conquered by the breath of God? Don't you get excited about that? Friends, I do. And it breaks my heart. The men and women are quitting the ministry because they're just tired of the fighting. Remember those two armies? One on one side of the valley on the mountain, the other one over here. This is God's army. This is the devil's army. I wonder how many people in church today are helping the devil rather than helping God. Shame. What are we doing? Why would you want to come to a church that bickers and fights and carries on like the world? I got better things to do on Sunday morning. How about you? I want to come to a house of hope, a refuge for the rejected. Yes, a lighthouse for the searching, a house that offers the answers. Well, God is providing the answers as well as the life here in verse number 11. He says, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Remember, this nation of Israel was divided. You had the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. What do you mean? God is calling them out. Even his Jewish preferred people were at odds with one another. What? And God said, I need to use you, which you can find in the next chapter and following, I need to use you in the future. During the millennial kingdom, you're going to be the key player here, not the Gentiles, you as the Jews. Why can't you get along, Israel and Judah? So let's read verse number 11 again. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, verse number 12 now, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. The fulfillment of Genesis chapter 12. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Then you shall know that I have opened your graves. O my people, I have brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. In verse 14, I would mind underlining that in my Bible. I encourage you to do the same thing. I will, God is saying, I promise, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. You once were dead, but you now are alive. You once were blind, but you now can see. You once were lost, headed to a sinner's hell. You now can have a place in glory. God said, I will do this for you. And this just in this dispensation today as well, friends. I will cause a place in your own land to come alive. I will put my spirit in you. I will place you in your own land, your inheritance. You shall know it. That me, the Lord, your God, I have spoken it and I have performed it to the glory of God. In the teaching and preaching of his word, I say hallelujah. Listen to one way that a writer described this. In this passage we just read, the Spirit of God carried Ezekiel to a very strange place, the site of a tremendous battle, a valley where countless people had been slain long before. Now in this valley, Ezekiel saw dry bones strewn everywhere, bones picked clean by the birds, and perhaps washed by the rain and bleached by the sun. Use your imagination now. Think about this. Bones baked and brittle. And then God said to Ezekiel, we just read in verse number 3, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I'm certain as Ezekiel was tempted to say, "No, that's impossible, God." But he was smarter than that, just like you and I are today. He said, "God, you know, which of course implies that God, you can turn an impossibility into a possibility. The prime application of this passage is to the nation of Israel. This is a literal interpretation. This is addressed to the nation of Israel, a picture of Israel in their destitute state. God said to Ezekiel, "These bones are my whole house, the house of Israel." God is showing here what He will do in the end times to bring back the nation of Israel from all around the world, where they lie scattered in unbelief like dry bones. But there's also a practical application here. We see how God brings life from death. What the God of the impossible has done for Israel, friends, He can do for you and me today in our situations. He can bring life out of death. He can revive your lost friend, your neighbor, your family member, that friend who is dead in trespass and sin. God can perform a miracle if you and I would only allow Him to do so. Think about this. God who raised the dead here in the day of Israel, the day of Ezekiel, He can do it today. Think about this. Jesus Christ conquered this in the New Testament. Jesus Christ conquered the grave. That's why we sang earlier, "Up from the grave we arose with Christ Jesus." He arose. We also arose. There was our answer. There was our hope. There was our clarification. Friends, this is too important. Let this pass by. I'm going to give you three simple words you and I need to write in our blanks today inside of your worship guide. Three simple words down here will bring this all into a full understanding. The God of the not impossibility, but the God of the possibility. If God can revive, restore, and regenerate, those are your three blanks, the nation of Israel, He can take our impossibilities and turn them into possibilities. He can take our impossibilities and turn into possibilities. Let me start with the first one, revive. What does that mean? It means spiritually they were dead. God said, "I want to revive you. Revive us again, O God," the psalmist called out. Revive, it means the breath of life. Look with me here when you see over and over again how God breathed into them. Look in verse number 2 and 3 down here, how they were dead, but God said, "I'm going to breathe on you." Look in verse number 5. "I'm going to breathe on you the breath of life," just like in Genesis chapter 2. How God formed man out of the dust of the ground, Anna Ruth. He breathed into Adam the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul, the breath of life. It's going to require breath. In order for you and I to live here, as well as live eternal in Christ Jesus, we must be resuscitated. Anybody ever have any CPR training? CPR training here, you know what I'm talking about. When you first thing you do when you see when someone lying there comatose, you go up and you check for a pulse. After that, if you say, "I have a pulse," you then try to breathe life back into them through CPR training and other means. You try to bring life through breath back into them. Friends, the devil's no match for God. The devil's no match for God, no more than I was just this past week blowing leaves in my yard. I have this big mechanical leaf blower, a big industrial leaf blower. My neighbors are here with me today. They laugh. They say, "You blow leaves more than anybody ever seen." But right now, I'm trying to sell a house. That's okay. So I'm just trying to keep the place looking nice. But here's something I learned. As I'm out there with this 200 plus mile an hour engine strapped to my back, blowing leaves, when the breath of God, the wind of God comes across my yard, I might as well give up. That is no match for God. Just like when you and I go to the beach, we walk out in the waves, we think about Mark as Mark recorded this, what manner of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Next time you're down at the Outer Banks or Myrtle Beach, wherever you enjoy going to the coast, Emerald Isle or wherever it may be, Hilton Head, walk out in the ocean and command those waves to stand still. And when you get overtaken, you will realize you're no match for the waves. Our mechanical devices are no match for the breath of God. I can blow leaves this way, and God says, I'm just going to bring a wind from this corner of the earth and blow me over, and all my leaves go right back over top of me and starts my project all over again. But now, let's bring that home to roost. Think about the breath of God, the Holy Spirit of God falling fresh on your life. Think about the impossibility you're saying right now. God can't do this. God can't. Really? Name one thing that God can't do. One thing. Well, I can give you six things. God can't lie. Yeah, I'm talking about performing a miracle. Someone in this presence right now, in this audience right now, got a bad report this week. 2 weeks ago, actually. Possibility of cancer, a tumor. They called your pastor. We called others. One of those private, unspoken. We fervently fasted and prayed. Not through us, through the breath of God, the attention of God. The person went back to the doctor this past week, and guess what? The tumor is no longer there. We'll bring in more experts to read more reports. CAT scans, MRIs, others. But right now, there's no trace of it. That's how big my God is. How big is your God? Look down here again. It's going to take revival. If God can revive Israel, He certainly can revive us. Yes. You know, I've been to a lot of churches. They say this, and I'm going to be very careful what I'm about to say. You know, we're about the Word. We're about the Word. That's all we're about. We're about the Word. But they rob God of the Spirit of God. They're all about the Word. All we want to do is teach a Word, teach a Word, teach a Word. And the pastor has the congregation more like theologians, like you're going to a seminary class. And I'm all for studying the Word of God. You know that, certainly. The pneumas of God, the breath of God, yes. From Genesis all the way through the New Testament, yes, the breath of God is important. The Word of God, yes, 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 the Logos of God that took on flesh and dwelt among us. But some churches say all we want to do is just become theologians. We're going to just teach the Word. What other churches are all about being slain in the Spirit. It's all about the Spirit. It's not so much about this, but it's about, boy, I enjoyed church today. We had an hour and a half of music. People were rolling in the aisles. Everybody's carrying on. We went in. It's like a big entertainment. I think of an old poem that was once given to me years ago. It goes like this. If we live by the Word alone, we can dry up. If we live by the Spirit alone, we can blow up. But if we live by the Word and the Spirit together, then we can show up and grow up. Isn't that good? Folks, I want to be Spirit-led. The book of Romans chapter 8 says, those that are led by the Spirit, to them he gave the power to become the sons and daughters of God. I want to be Spirit-led. How about you? But at the same time, it's not going to be all this. It's going to be this with that. That's why we'll be a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church. What God did for Israel back then, He can do for me and you now. It's going to take revival. Yes, the breath of God, the breath of God. But it's also going to take restoration. That's the second thing you wrote down. Spiritually speaking, it took revival. Politically speaking, here with Israel and Judah, yes, they must come together. Look in verse number 15. Quickly turn there. Verse number 15. Again, the Lord came to me saying, I want you in verse 16, son of man, take two sticks and hold them up. One stick is for this house, one stick is for the other house. In verse 17, now join these sticks together. You see that in verse 17? Join these sticks together. What once was two becomes one. He's using an object lesson here. Can't you see Ezekiel now with these dry bones holding up a stick and say, okay, can I have everybody's attention? This is you. I'm glad you have flesh and sinew and you have life breathing in you. But here's the two houses. You're a house divided. your house divided. Amos said, can two people walk together except they be agreed? No. That's why when a man and woman comes together in marriage, two become one like this. Yes. The world says it doesn't need to be like this, but you and I know the Bible says yes. And God said, I'm trying to bring my nation back together. Here's one stick, the northern kingdom. Here's the other stick, the southern kingdom. I want to bring these two sticks together as one strong branch of Judah. That's what he's saying down here. How many of you know that took place in 1948? How many of you know, what was it, May the 14th, 1948? Something very important happened in the Middle East. What was it? Israel became a nation again. Which, of course, is prophesied down here. Politically speaking, they came together. They came together. Nothing is prohibiting God from His returning again and setting up His millennial kingdom after the rapture. You think about that. That should get us excited. The breath of God revival, yes. The restoration of God, politically speaking, yes, yes, yes. But then we find regeneration here. The restoration, yes, down here. It's talking about in the future events. Look in verse number 21 through 24, and we'll close with this. Verse 21 of Ezekiel chapter 37. After the two sticks came together, they saw this. They took on life again. Then I want you to say, then, thus saith the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations. Wherever they have gone, he's talking about bringing them in from the four corners of the earth. And I will gather them from every side. I will bring them to their own land, their own land. That land belongs to the Jews. And I will make them one nation. You see that in verse number 22? One nation, not a nation divided. One nation on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all. They shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they be divided into two kingdoms ever again. God has brought them back together, friends, since this day. You think about this. Well, is this prophetically speaking? Eschatologically speaking? Yes. They're making reference down here to David. David's already dead and gone. David's 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. Folks, this is hundreds of years later. God said, I'm going to bring them together. Notice in verse 23, they shall not defile themselves anymore with their idols, their sin. That's why they were in exile. Nor with the detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, any of their sins. I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and I will cleanse them. Here we find the regeneration. The regeneration, cleansing. I will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people again. I will be their God. In verse 24, he makes reference to David. David, my servant, shall be king over them. Again, futuristically speaking here in the millennial kingdom. They shall all have one shepherd. Yes. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do that. Friends, this is letting us peek into the book of Revelation, simply put. This allowing us to enjoy what God was experiencing thousands of years ago. And now, peek into the future. The same God who calls these dead bones to live. Look at your blanks. The revival, the breath of God. Through restoration, the hand of God. Through regeneration, the moving of God. He can do that for you. He can do that for me. He can do that for this church or any church who would be obedient. Think about this with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Ask yourself right now, am I spiritually destitute? Am I spiritually dead? We know you're here physically. Those of you listening by radio, those of you watching at home, we know you are alive right now, but are you spiritually dead? If you are without Jesus Christ, you don't have the breath of God within you. Why not? Why not? You're no more than a walking corpse. I don't care what they put in the obituary. What a great guy, what a great woman you were, how much you loved your family, how much you loved West Virginia football, how you loved a barbecue out in your backyard. Friends, that's only for a season. You're going to die in your trespasses and sins. Why would anybody want to pass up the Thanksgiving offer of God to accept His Son, Jesus Christ, as personal Lord and Savior, and be forgiven of their trespasses and sin? Why would you want to do that? Please don't do that. Please don't do that. With great passion, we're begging you now, as God did through the quill of Ezekiel here. You need to rise up, stand up for Jesus Christ. You can live. What about a strained relationship you're in right now? A strained relationship. You think about the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. shaming God. God couldn't work until they came together again. What about your home? What's your home life like? Don't make a provision for the devil. He loves it when he goes into good homes and destroys those good homes. What miracle do you need from God today? More than just a physical healing, what political, spiritual healing do we need as a country? We all know the answer. Dear God, help us stand where we stood when we started as one nation under God. God, forgive us for our sins. Think about this, friends. God needs to forgive us for our trespass and the sins. God bless America. How about America bless God? How about we go back to the old book and take another look and say, dear God, you know the right way, the best way, the only way. It'd be a great day when we, as the nation of Israel did, was resurrected. Let's pray about our country as well as our homes right now. Father, into your presence we come. We do beg your fullest attention on the needs of our country. Dear God, we seem to be slipping further and further away from thus saith the Lord. We're shaming you with what you once called us to be, the greatest nation on planet Earth, the vehicle by which you were going to be spreading the gospel, the wealthiest, most educated, fattest people, all manners of speaking. We have everything. Our houses are full. Our pantries are full. Our garages are full. Our bank accounts are partially full. Lord, but it's all going to burn. But our hearts are not full. Dear God, help us as a nation to get back on the straight and narrow. Help us as a nation, moms and dads, to rise up and stand up and speak up and not shut up until you return. Help us as a nation to glorify you again and to teach our children's children's children the truths of God. And we as individuals, Lord, we're not going to escape this. No exemptions, no excuses, no escaping. We're going to be held accountable also. We must be able to tell 1, 2, 3 people this week by the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We must walk in a way that's pleasing to you. So God, forgive us for our sins. Save those that need to be saved. Convict those who are outside of your word, your will, your way. And blow fresh wind on us. Simply put, dear God, I'm begging you, beginning with me, revive us again. May we leave this place changed, different, excited for the Lord Jesus Christ and the coming kingdom. Revive us, O God. We pray this under the authority of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.